Welcome to the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast, where we don't take from insurance companies. Here are your hosts, Mr. Jordan Comstock and Mr. Ben Tuinay. This podcast is sponsored by BoomCloud Dental Membership Software, www.boomcloudapps.com, and Veritas Dental Resources, www.veritasdentalresources.com. Enjoy the show.
Here we go. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast. I am your host today, Jordan Comstock. Ben is not with us. He is out. He's not feeling too well today, dealing with some kidney stones. I feel bad for him. So wish him well. Send him an email. Tell him to get better. Today, I have an awesome friend and guest that I always enjoy having come on our show. Her name is Penny Reed. She is from she owns the Dental Coaching Institute. Penny, what is up?
What's up? Well, I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, where we are trying to decide if we are still having summer, fall, or winter.
Isn't that crazy, huh? This week. Yes. It gets crazy like that here in Utah too, but it's starting to get cold and I'm wishing I'm in Hawaii again. So.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Well, we can just pretend like we're in Hawaii.
I know. I'll just look at my screen, my desktop. It's got a Hawaiian picture, you know, like the traditional desktop. Well, I'm super excited to have you on the show today. We're going to be talking about new patient attraction because I think, number one, with what we do here at BoomCloud, help practice grow their membership programs, it's been a pretty hot topic where a lot of practices, we've done some surveys out there to our customer base, and everyone wants to know how to attract new patients, particular, the uninsured patient base. And I think Penny has some great tips and can educate us really well with this topic. But Penny, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in dentistry? And tell us a little bit about your journey.
Okay, awesome. So I started in dentistry a really long time ago, back in 1992. I went to work for my dentist. I had been in management in IT with a little company you probably heard of called Walmart in their distribution center, and had moved back to Memphis and ran into my dentist at church, and he said, I would love to visit with you, and he offered me a job, and I said, hey, just a warning, I don't know how to run a dental office, and he very meekly said, well, I've been doing it for 11 years, and don't worry, I didn't really have any training on how to run the office either, so which kind of left us both, you know, looking at each other, but I said, hey, sounds great, and I'm grateful that I did, or I wouldn't be here. How I got into the consulting world was about 6 months into working at his office. You know, I knew a lot of things, right, that I'd learned in college with my business education from how I was raised, right? You know, you work hard, you treat people well. Yeah. And there were certain things business-wise, intuitively, you know, that I had learned and could do. But one of the biggest benefits that I will say that I had from working at Walmart was there was a system and a procedure for everything. I mean, almost too many, right? We had our own dictionary of terminology that probably could rival some of the dental words that we use. And so I was asking, where's the book that tells how to run the practice? And I was handed a really large, I'm dating myself here, Easy Dental DOS. We were on DOS. A lot of people probably don't know what that is. Like, we didn't even have a,
I know what it is.
Yeah. We didn't have a mouse.
We
all have function keys.
We have DOS emulators here at BoomCloud, but to play our old DOS games.
Oh, fun. Yes. So for those of you youngsters that are listening to this, you need to Google what is DOS, right?
Yeah, just what is DOS?
just for fun. And so we wound up hiring a consulting group. And after I realized that there were things that you could actually do other than just come in and work as hard as you can each and every day to make the practice, to make things less stressful, right? To grow the practice, to attract more new patients. I thought, oh my goodness, like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to, you know, go around the world. Everyone will want to hire. This was before I knew that a lot of people didn't like consultants. So I'm glad that I made the jump fairly quickly. Because I like for people to like me. And that was a tough pill to swallow, that everyone doesn't love consultants. But I love the work that I do. Over the last 25 years, I have had the privilege of meeting great people like you, for one, Jordan, and have a lot of friends that have seemed like family now, colleagues as well as clients, and have had the opportunity to work with a lot of great dentists and team members. So I'm excited to be here, and it's part of that experience years ago working in the practice that fuels, you know, when it's like, what's your why? You know what? There's a better way, and you don't have to work. Do we have to work hard? Yes, we do. You know, the American dream is to work. What's the book? The 4-hour work week.
Four hour work week. Yeah.
The rest of the time. I don't really know many people that do that, right? But we don't want to work any harder or be any more stressed out than we need to be. And so I'm very passionate about helping dentists and their teams achieve their financial goals and enjoy being at work.
Yeah. Well, I think what you do is awesome. And for the record, I think consultants are awesome, and I hire a consultant to help us out here at Boom Club when I
need
it.
That's fantastic. I think they're awesome too. That's why I work with one. So,
So let's get started, Penny. I'm really super excited about this episode. Although I do want to point out that the last episode we did together was fantastic, and I want to everyone who hasn't listened to that to go listen to it. We talk about how Walt Disney would run a dental practice. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's one of my favorite episodes on the show because Penny just did such a good job. So check that out. I'll leave the link to that in the show notes as well. My first question for you, Penny, is in a dental practice, where or what is their greatest competition, or where is it?
Or where is it?
Yeah, so where or what?
where we think it is, right? And not that there's not some competition with what I'm about to refer to. We think it's the practice down the street or the practice that has way more positive Google reviews than we do. Yet the root of that greatest competition is not outside of your office. It's our own within the practice, how we're showing up, the patient experience that we're providing. And so the greatest competition that we have is within the four walls of our practice, and it's patient perception. So we focus so much on the externals, right? The website, the social media, and I'll touch on that just a few moments, but we've got to be able to deliver what it is that we say that we can deliver. And
absolutely
having that distinction, I think part of the greatest competition is that we've got some mental confusion about what an excellent patient experience is and what it's not. And it's not, and you hurt people, and you know, their work falls out before they get home. I mean, that's definitely going to impact your practice.
Yeah.
Most of your listeners, I'm just going to say all of the cloud listeners, are doing great dentistry. They're doing great clinical dentistry. But we can't see it because we're in it. And I had a coach tell me once, I thought this was brilliant. You can't see what's in the picture if you're in the frame.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're looking through an empty picture frame, you know, other people can see what's in the picture. So if there's somebody photobombing you, you can see that. You know, you can see what's in the background. You can see if you look the way that you think you do. You know, I mean, you can't see it. You can't see any of that. It takes other perspective to be able to see that. And that's the perspective that our patients have. So the real birthplace of practice growth comes from that patient experience that they have in the practice. And most practices think that theirs is exceptional. Yeah. And how a lot of them are. And that's a painful thing to say, but it's true.
I agree. And here's my question. How, if you know of any way, can a practice, is there a way to measure that or assess like how a practice patient experience is?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a variety of ways, and, you know, we'll start with that new patient telephone call, right? Which there are, we have a service where we'll monitor the calls and kind of give them a scorecard and training and direction. I know you mentioned that you work with Boom Cloud users on the phone. So we at least now have an understanding that if we secret shop, right, or mystery shop, that we can assess that part of it. And I think that's the first, you know, the first place to look. So many practices have really raised the bar on how they're answering the phone. How we would know from the other perspective would be a variety of ways. One is if you've got a patient or a local colleague that you know gets what great service is, right? I mean, they like completely get it. They would be willing to, even if the team knew, you know, I think sometimes it's like, oh, you know, well, we wouldn't want the team to know. Well, how about they know that they're being
measured
and, you know, being watched? Because, you know, and I'll have clients say, oh, well, you know, they're going to be on their best behavior. I'm like, I know. And so it's not just what I'm seeing and hearing that's happening. It's what's not happening that I'm watching and listening for. So I think having someone periodically come in so that we know that what we're doing is, you know, that will give you feedback. The other is, I believe we need to do surveys. Now the trouble can be getting patients to complete the surveys, right? But
sure,
periodically asking, making it easy.
So right? We do that.
Ask them 70 questions, but make it easy for them to give you feedback.
We do that at Boom Cloud. So after every interaction with our team, there's a survey that goes out. Sure, not everyone takes it, but a good portion of people take it, and it gives us enough data. And my team knows that they're being measured, right? So, and when I get, if we do get a bad service review, I take it to the team member and say, hey, what happened on this call? How can we fix it? You know, and try to coach them through it. We do things like that all the time. And I think that's important to measure experience I call it experience. So just measuring experience.
The other is, I think, and it can be a variety of different things. You know, if it's important in the previous session that I did with you on the Disney part was about culture. And so, I mean, I'm touching on it today. Give your team an experience occasionally that focuses on service. So it can be, it can be taking them to Disney World, right? Which we had that course there. It can be taking them to a Ritz-Carlton, you know, to a meeting, right, or to lunch. Find there's a really great restaurant here in town called Southern Social. And, you know, Memphis, we usually fry everything, right, at most of the restaurants.
This one does sounds not. Great.
I mean, this one I think was ranked one of the top 10 restaurants in the country. But it's so amazing when you go in there, which you have to have a reservation, or they don't, you know, they can't see you. They're packed. But how the servers, when you walk down the aisleway to be seated, anyone not actively serving a table stops what they're doing, turns and faces you and says, "Welcome to Southern Social," with a big smile on their face. Right. Awesome. So we've got to show them what great service is. And maybe you don't have a Southern Social or Ritz-Carlton bit right now. Hey, take them to McDonald's and then take them to Chick-fil-A. I mean, this is I had the most phenomenal experience a few weeks ago. A dear friend of mine who's from Canada, she's a hygienist that's a consultant in Canada. She and her husband came and spent 4 days with us. And so we did everything, right? We went to Graceland, you know, home of Elvis.
Nice.
I took them to eat barbecue. So one thing was we went to eat barbecue at like a barbecue joint in a not so great town. And sadly, the experience was so bad. I mean, it was horrible. We wound up not even eating there. We left. And I was like, well, there's a bad experience for you. Well, then I realized the next day they had never been to Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wow.
Jordan, I'm here to tell you, it was like I had fulfilled someone's wish. I was so excited just to watch. So we went in, you know, and first of all, she was like, wow, these people are excited to be here. And are they giving away food? Right? Why is this place so busy? And, and I have no idea. if Chick-fil-A would be as busy as it is if the service wasn't as great as it is. Because let's face it, that chicken, that's some addicting chicken.
Yeah, it's way good.
I wish I'd been filming the looks on their faces when they bit into their chicken sandwiches. They're like, oh my gosh. Like, literally, I didn't know they didn't have Chick-fil-A in Canada, or at least in Ottawa they don't. So, we've got to get out of our little shell, right? Out of our little world and not only go to hear speakers or have a coach or consultant come in and train, but we want to take the team to have them see, all right, this was a great experience. All right, what made it great? You know, notice the eye contact, and then practice some of those things when we get back. When we get back in the office, right? We can't just hear about it and see it, and then just immediately go and implement it. We need to practice it regularly, and that would also go for. I'm going to just jump around here. If you have a membership plan in your office, every member on the team needs to be able to talk about it, right?
Oh, they don't need absolutely. To go,
oh, yeah, you know what? It's really great.
Go talk to Sarah up front. Yeah.
Ask Jordan, because he knows all about it. No, it's got to be. I'm so glad you asked. I'll be happy to tell you about that.
We actually just finished a case study on exactly what you just said there. Of a practice who grew their membership program from like zero to over 400 patients in like 8 months. And it's that main reason why everyone was trained to talk about it and give the patient a educational experience about the membership program. And that was one of the key topics. We'll be releasing, I think, that ebook today or tomorrow. So we'll share that with everybody.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. So, you know, that goes back to culture, right? Well, it takes practice for everybody. You know, you've got to define what it is that your member plan is and the why behind it. Be yes. sure the team knows it, over communicate it, practice it. If you don't get asked a question that often, it's going to take you a little bit longer to answer it. So
sure.
really having the team get that. And then if I can just, I'm going to take a, like a parallel move here on the topic as far as any external marketing with that. One of the fastest growing, and I'm not a dental benefits expert, right? I don't lecture on the codes, but I know a thing or two and have had some friends that work in that industry. And one of the fastest growing dental plans, at least a couple of years ago, was that individual plan.
Yeah.
And so I believe we've talked about it before. If you go to dentalplans.com or if you, you know, sure. were to Google, I need dental insurance, which is what a lot of
people do.
The average patient may be doing, especially the uninsured, because they don't budget for dental. I mean, I'm sure a few really, really smart, self-disciplined people that can probably solve the Rubik's Cube every day while they drink their coffee are budgeting for their dental expenses. But most don't. So if you go to dentalplans.com, there's all sorts of things out there that look like dental insurance, but they really are is they're a discount plan offered by a dental insurance company. So there are other people other than dental practices that are marketing to this patient base. And so if you were to really want to dominate the market in your area, and Google, I went to Google school about 8 or 9 years ago, like literally locked in a room with no windows in Las Vegas and took all the analytics, Google ads, you know, and a lot of it hasn't changed, right?
No, but it hasn't.
A lot of the algorithms have, but here's one thing that I do know. If in your area, if someone Googles, I need dental insurance, it sure would be great if your practice had a little microsite.
Oh yeah.
With whatever that town is, like Dallas Dental Plan,
that
marketed your member plan. Right.
Oh, In other words, love that idea.
I know.
I love that idea.
Anytime. It's the geeky part of my brain, but it's if you want to dominate, like, are you just dabbling? It's funny because there's a lot of PPO pain.
Yeah.
Right. I've got a client that's like, oh my goodness, I had been participating with this plan because I used to be in the military, but they want us to do a predetermination. I had a patient with a cracked tooth. It's been months and we haven't heard anything back.
Wow.
He's like, if I don't do a crown on that tooth, like ASAP, the guy's going to lose the tooth. Like it may already be too late. He said, and I've decided that I'm done. Well, you know what? We can say that we're done, but what is it that we're really willing to do to invest in, from patient experience training, not just how the office looks, but to keep that bar high? If people are choosing, whether they're choosing to come in and invest in the membership plan, or come in and not even know that you've got it, right? But they've heard great things about you, or go out and network. What do they expect for that? And for my clients that are fee for service, I'm like, I'm going to be harder on you than I am on anybody else.
Sure. Yeah.
You have to. Because you can't ever stop, you know, back off on the, we've got to be better.
Yeah. Which is a good thing. Like that's a good thing for a fee for service practice to have that mindset. Mm-hmm. Even a, you know, a PPO heavy practice should have that mindset and hopefully eventually get rid of the bad PPO plans.
But, yeah.
I love that idea of knowing that people, you know, in are searching for, I need dental insurance. And if a practice, you know, writes an article or puts an ad about that and then says, hey, look, if you're looking for dental insurance, you don't need it. Just join our membership program. Right. Something like that.
Right.
I'm sure that,
you know,
I mean,
if you're looking for it, there's another way. And I'll and highlight all of these.
I love that idea.
A waiting period. You can have the dentistry you want, you know, now, depending on how your plan's structured. There's not an annual maximum. You know, all of the, there are not certain things that aren't covered, right? Yeah. You can get a reduced fee whitening. So, you know, just being sure that if we're really committed, and it's the ones that are truly committed, right? That are, hey, this is not, the failure is not an option.
Yeah.
To make this work, because what's the phrase that, you know, mama ain't coming. I don't know if I can remember being a kid, right? And you could be somewhere in the house or outside and you'd be like, mom, right? Well, eventually the first, you know, few times you did this, mom would come.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Or
whatever
it was you were calling for, they would come. Well, nobody's coming to bail anyone out of these PPO. I mean, they're not just going to one day, the patients aren't going to revolt and say, oh, we're tired of the PPOs.
They have no idea what a PPO is.
yeah, they don't. And there will always be a segment of the patient population that will at least initially go where the plan dictates. But if the service and the patient experience is not measurably better in, you know, in your office, right? I mean, we're just saying, you know, fictitious office, than it is if they go to a practice that participates with lots of plans, that is doing an above average job of being friendly and polite. And there are a lot of really great offices out there that do participate in plans, right? That are also trying to provide this excellent patient experience. So the bar is super high. And so we've got to, if we feel like we're doing everything we can from an advertising standpoint, and we're still not getting momentum, it's probably not only your paid marketing efforts that are the trouble.
Yeah.
I think we've got to go back to what is the experience in our office and being willing to have it measured.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, why do you think that patient experience is one of the most important things a practice can do to attract patients?
Yeah, I think.
Right? And retain.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I just threw in, you know, it's important, I think, to number one, attract and to retain patients.
Absolutely. Well, it's a relationship business, and
sure,
it goes back to the, it's not about your dentistry, right? I mean, to the patient, it's a given that your dentistry is awesome until you prove them otherwise, right? so it's not having been a clinical team member, right? Uh-huh. So I never even got to hold the suction. I am terrible at trying to interpret x-ray. So I still have very much the same perspective that a patient would have. So people know how we make them feel. And if we make them feel uncomfortable, right? Whether it is the fact that maybe they didn't feel like we focused on them enough. We left them in the operatory when, even when we were in there, we weren't as focused on them as we could be. Maybe we were looking at our phone. We don't make efforts to remember. It used to be easier, Jordan, with the paper chart. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm not a fan of the paper chart except for one thing, and that was that there was this sheet, and in most offices it was colored, right? It was blue or purple, and uh-huh. it would say Jordan went to Hawaii in September, right?
Yeah, so they know a little bit about me.
Yeah, Jordan's kids started kindergarten fall of what? Well, yeah. Now,
gosh, do you have a sheet about me?
I'm writing one right now. I'm writing a book about you, Jordan.
Thanks, Penny.
Yeah, it's going to be like an animated flip book. We're going to have you jumping over things.
Yeah, that sounds
like whatever it was you did in your DOS video games.
Yeah.
So we've, and that's one of the challenges that I make with the teams that I work with. It's like, okay, you can't just put that somewhere in the notes, because if it's somewhere in the notes, then I've got to scroll through to try to find out what that is.
Sure.
You know, it needs to be in a prominent place in the notes where we're looking. What's this patient's, what are their goals for their mouth and their smile? For the offices that ask it, they're usually not putting it in a place where they can go back and find it.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like I even have, like, nobody's ever asked me like, what do you want for your smile? Like I know things that like bother me about my smile or my teeth. Right. And I manage a dental lab. So I know like what looks really, really good. Yeah. I know too much. Yeah. Yes. So I want certain things, but every time I go to an office, then nobody ever asks me, and I'm willing to pay for things, right?
Right.
And I have no insurance, so I'll pay out of pocket, which is good for the practice. But I think you have a good point there that I think it's good to have a system to understand and know that patient and be able to have a conversation with them and feel like that they, you know them, right? Because like you said, it's a relationship business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know you had mentioned earlier when we were talking about how do we attract more patients that don't have insurance, you know, other than the direct marketing efforts for someone that is looking for a dental savings plan in that area,
sure.
Right? And to focus more on, you know, in looking at our list of patients coming in for the day, who's coming in that doesn't have insurance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's be sure that we're asking them for referrals, which most offices will go, oh, we do that. Yet at the end of the day, and this is the other is what gets measured, gets managed. So
absolutely.
If we see that, then are we asking? And if we are we following up? Do we have a dummy procedure code that we enter when we ask? If I don't have to turn my paper in, right? I'm thinking back to college or high school. If I had a teacher that didn't check homework and I got busy, guess what? Homework didn't get done.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we've got to, and some people may say, oh, well, you know, I trust my team to do it. You know what? It's not about trust. It's about the discipline to really focus on what matters. So there would be that part of it. The other would be strategically thanking, not necessarily making a reward to tell them that you're going to do it, because in most states that's not permitted.
Sure.
Practice Act, and I'm not saying that I agree with it, but I do encourage people to follow the rules. It's usually a really, really smart thing. But we used to send, and we did it for all of our top referring patients. We would send them, and this is old fashioned, but it works. We had just ceramic coffee cups that we had a florist would put arrangements in it, and we would send her a list every month of deliveries to make. And a lot of those patients had insurance, which back then, and not a lot of it was PPO, but they would refer other people in their office would wind up calling us because they saw the delivery and it sparked a question.
Well, and it also goes along with the law of reciprocity, right? You're giving them
absolutely.
Something, which I'm a huge believer in that law. But I think, an old school or old fashioned, I think, I mean, those things still work today. Just
well, it gets attention. Everybody wants to flip a switch and throw a bunch of money. And I'm not, you know what? You need a website, right?
Sure.
So I kind of made like the little bulleted, you need a great looking website, and it needs to have video of you, the doctors, like you're the star of the show. We want to know who we're, the women that are making, we want to know who we're coming to see. You've got to look friendly. If you don't know how to be friendly, go take the Dale Carnegie training course. I used to be a Dale Carnegie trainer. They will,
that's fantastic.
In 8 to 12 weeks, they will whip you
into shape.
With being friendly, or work with the, you know, some really individual coaching on that. You've got to be approachable.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, this is just tough to say without it coming out wrong, but I'm just going to say it. In my experience, I have seen, again, I don't know great clinical dentistry unless the team says we're having to redo a lot of blank, right? I mean, I can't look at an average x-ray and say, oh, yeah, that's a great composite or it's going to fail, right?
Sure. But
it's not the clients the dentists that I've worked with that have the greatest clinical skill that have necessarily been the most successful. It's been the ones that had an engaging personality and
yes.
really enjoyed their patients. And so you may not need or even be able to get a personality transplant, right? If you're introverted, but there are things that you can do. It's not like you've got to
hire people with other people with
personalities,
right? Like that, it doesn't
Absolutely.
All have to be on the dentist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then also work on what are your facial expressions? Do a mock patient visit and have a team member video you with your iPhone. You know, do you look mad?
Yeah.
You know, it can happen, right? Maybe you're concentrating. You know, my concentration face looks a little angry.
It's mine does too.
My dentist pointed out to me a long time ago. I was like, oh, holy smokes, I'll work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and be involved if you want some of the best marketing. Again, it's been more of what I've seen because I don't do years ago, my company, we also did websites and different things like that. And it just got to be jack of all trades for me.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, master of none. but from the standpoint of marketing is communication. So
that's all it is.
Be seen, not only in the community, but if you're really enjoying what you do, then you need to be, that needs to come through on your site. It's no longer, anybody can look smart.
Yeah.
Most people absolutely. Aren't reading your bios, you know, to see if you're board certified. I mean, it just depends on what they're looking for. I'm not
sure. There may be some people that look at that, but not, I'm sure the general consumer, you know, or general patient.
And I'm not advising against it because I think that helps you create a great quality product. But if all you've got are certifications, and yet people can't see, does this person act like someone that I want in my mouth?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and what's the saying? People buy things from people they know, and trust, right?
Yeah, they know, like, and trust. So
if
you don't have professional video of you, primarily the doctors, you know, Chairside, you know, there's a lot of great marketing companies out there that have gotten really good at these videos. The others
would
be patient testimonials.
Yeah.
And get some of those in video. This is the world we live in. People are wanting that social proof because they've made decisions before without getting the input from others, and it wasn't so great. And they're wanting to save time. Let's see. The other thing that I wanted to touch on, if I may,
sure,
I've lost all track of time. I'm having such a good time. as always with you.
Yes.
Is going back to, and this, I'm going back to college days here. So this was a really long time ago. We did one of the marketing classes that I took. Fantastic. If I would have changed my major to marketing if I had, after this class, if it would not have meant like another year of school. And I thought, you know what? The management degree would suit me fine. But we had a project to do. And I remember that we videoed it, and it had to do with what marketing really was, and that it was about communication. I always thought it was advertising, and it's really two different things. Where grocery stores place products is marketing, right?
Yeah.
That evil area when you get to the checkout line that has all the candy that you try not to go through.
But well, you now end up going through. Yeah.
But when you've got kids, right, or where the sugar sweetened cereals are, all of that, that's marketing. In the dental office, often we'll up our game on the phone, right? We'll up our game on how we're greeting patients. Then the next step is how we're communicating treatment. Then we get to the financial options and we completely blow it.
Yeah.
Right. It's the whole, well, hey, Jordan, that's going to be $2,500 and you can get a 5% courtesy for cash or check, or we take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. Right. And then it's like, boom. And we're leaving you in that awkward silence that salespeople are taught to do.
Yep.
Right. Kind of staring at you to see what you're going to decide instead of, and this is true for every practice, right? I would say even if you participate with PPO plans, but even more so if you're wanting to provide that exceptional patient experience, because two things, the more patients that you get that are that ideal patient that you keep current in your practice, the less new patients you need.
Yep.
Right. So it's the, if you keep needing a ton more new patients, there's an issue beyond your external advertising. But
I agree.
Leading with, instead of waiting to see if they flinch. And I know, for example, I'll just say, I know Care Credit has this, leading with using something like their financial form that has all of the office options at the top. And then it shows what their monthly payment would be.
Yeah.
Right. If they did
simple,
right. If they did 6 months, no interest, or 12 months, no interest, or maybe it's 36 months with interest, but now the patient's looking at something that doesn't make them flinch. So if you're having patients, if you're putting them through the flinching, you do not have an exceptional patient experience. Right. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I feel like Judge Judy now. Right. may not be what you want to hear, but it's the, well, what about the discount that we pay? If you're listening to this and you are truly committed to being fee for service, you already are, or you're wanting to minimize your plans or keep it maybe to one or two, you have got to master this.
Yeah,
you have to, the patient financing, if it's less than 10% of how patients are paying you, you are not providing an exceptional experience for the patient when it comes to not only today's visit, but that second part is you're caring for me over and over and over because I'm not budgeting for it.
Yep. Absolutely. No, I think that's great. And I mean, we've basically covered today everything from, you know, attracting new patients, to when they get into the practice, and then I call it conversions, but it's case acceptance, right? I think a tool like Care Credit definitely is a requirement for improved patient experience, because like you said, nobody budgets for dental care other than the guy that does the Rubik's cube or whatever you said.
Yeah. A Rubik's cube. A lot of people don't even know what that is, probably while they're drinking their coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, a really disciplined person that doesn't think the way that other people think.
I have one of my business partners in another company. He orders all sorts of different types of a Rubik's cubes. And the other day he came into the Boom Cloud office for lunch with me for a meeting, and he's sitting there while we're having lunch and doing these, and while talking and eating, he's doing these cubes. And I'm like, holy smokes, dude, like I've never seen, like, that's not a standard one. That's like a triangle one. And then he has like a 35 by whatever one. I don't know what it is, but he gets going, but he does budget for dental care.
That's funny. There you go. That's what I'm saying. And I just stumbled upon that. You should, well, it's not worth investing in that research project. It's probably true.
Oh yeah. He's very organized.
The people that can solve a Rubik's Cube are the ones that are budgeting for their dental care.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for a lot of families, even if they don't have a dental benefit plan, even budgeting for 2 recare visits a year
can be challenging.
Is a chunk of money.
Yeah.
That's a chunk of money.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, one of the reasons why we say, you know, I really like monthly membership programs, because it obviously breaks it up into small, low barrier, under the radar type payments for the patient, versus, you know, paying, you know, if you got your whole family on paying on a yearly plan, you know, let's say I sign up for a yearly plan today, you know, it's right before Christmas, you know, next year, you know, at least with our system, right, we automate yearly and monthly membership plans. Mm-hmm. You know, the next year may be a pain point for them if it's on a yearly, because it's such a huge amount if you got, you know, a family of four or five.
Absolutely.
You know, whereas a monthly plan, it's small, it's easy.
And that's what people want.
And I that's mean, what people the, want. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what, and so that's where it's, that is marketing, right?
Yeah,
not absolutely. Only having the member plan and especially if you're going to go on something like that, that's monthly. And one of the reasons why I love Boom Cloud and that program so much is dental software, and it probably never will be, is not set up to help you manage a membership plan.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, I'm pretty geeky, and I've tried to help clients come up with ways, like before I, you know, learned about you and what you, I was like, wow. And then you know, there are people slipping through the cracks. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
The ones that got their, you know, oh, well, we cleaned four people's teeth for free today. Their member plan expired.
Oh, yikes.
2 months ago.
Oh, that's
right.
Such a
or yeah. They got the discount and they haven't, their
they haven't
plan
paid
expired
us.
30
yeah.
days ago.
Yeah. Yikes.
Ouch.
Yeah. That gets hard if you're not, if you can't mm-hmm. keep track of everything.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about, and we'll wrap it up here, Penny.
Sure.
What are, with your experience, what are some of the best strategies for these practices to do? What are your final thoughts and some of the things that if they don't do, like if they don't set up a microsite and you know, get it in this Google search engine for I need dental insurance or some of the mm-hmm. other tips you said, what are some of the things that they can do now that are simple and easy, right? We talk about marketing, making it simple and
so
easy.
So whatever they are doing, whether it is giving out a referral card in the office, or direct mail or a Google ad, you must make an offer.
Yeah.
I mean, simply because, and you and I were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
If you get a direct mail piece and there's not a reason as a consumer, and there's not a reason for you to pick up that phone or go online and book something ASAP, I don't want to say you've completely wasted your money, but you've wasted 80% of it, right?
Yeah,
because
I agree.
They get busy. We've never been more distracted than we are now. And I don't see that decreasing. So,
yeah. So
what offer should we make? Well, I don't think there's a magical offer out there. I will.
No, you got to test.
Yeah. You got to do a test, and I will share with you what would be my main go-to, right? So if I was a restaurant and had a menu item of marketing things, would be to offer the patients a choice of either a complimentary exam or a complimentary evaluation. It doesn't have to be the comprehensive, right? Because some people wind up coming to you because they have a toothache, right?
Yeah.
I can procrastinate getting my teeth cleaned for quite a while, right?
Sure.
But if I'm in pain and I have a need or something that's sort of been bothering me, so that might be a limited evaluation in a PA, or it could be a comprehensive evaluation and full mouth series of x-rays, but I only get it one time, right? So it's not like we're giving them all away. So I either have a choice of that or a choice of free whitening, right? And then you either choose, I know you mentioned that there was something that you recommend to your listeners. You either choose
we do the Opalescence Go whitening kits is what we recommend. Because as one of the, you know, offers, it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be the only offer, but
right.
I think it's great because it doesn't involve the dentist time or the hygienist time.
Absolutely.
And they can just give it to the patient and then, you know, ask if
they
have insurance.
You know, you give them a choice. And then that way, if they say, oh, well, I do have insurance.
Yeah.
Just say, oh, well, you know, we'll be happy to, you know, you could still do the complimentary evaluation and x-rays. And should you have work that needs to be done, that money that would still be available on your maximum. Or many of our patients with insurance choose the whitening kit. You know, either they use it for themselves or they give it to someone.
Yeah.
And so now it's you can kind of get yourself out of the, oh, well, if I'm offering something to somebody, do I have to have a separate offer for people that don't have insurance? You know, just that whole thing just gets sticky.
Yeah, sure.
But then that way you're appealing to, with one
offer,
new patient offer, you're appealing to people that want whiter teeth or they
who really, you know, care. You know, usually people who want whiter teeth, at least from my opinion mm-hmm. or my viewpoint, care about their smile and care about their teeth, right? So
absolutely
they would be a good patient.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that, whatever the offer is, and that would, I would stand by if I was an owner in a practice and we were looking for what do we market, that would be one of the primary go-to offers. Sure. Not that there aren't some other ones that work, but that's going to appeal to the most people. And I would put on there offer valid for, you know, in other words, you may offer it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. But you want there to be some end date. There's got to be a reason.
Yes. For them to take action now.
Oh yeah. I mean, every now and then I'll buy something online and Rob's like, did we need that? I'm like, well, we really didn't. But if I bought it today, I saved, you know, it was regularly $70. I saved $45. I'm like, I'm a genius. Right. So we want to feel smart. And the other is if there's no deadline, it's not that they don't intend to call or to go online and schedule. It's that they set whatever that is aside and their distracted brains don't think about it again.
Yep. We're all the same way. I'm that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm that way.
Yeah. So I think that's a great tip, that you have to have an offer. Don't, I mean, I was telling Penny before we started recording that at home, I get, you know, dental direct mail pieces all the time. And I obviously take the time to look at them because of the industry I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I am looking for a new dentist because I just, I don't want to travel so far to my other dentist because he's clear up in Salt Lake and I'm not at Salt Lake anymore. So I'm looking for a new dentist. So I'm actually like looking at all the direct mail pieces and none of them like make me want to take action.
Yeah.
Or they don't have an offer or anything. Right. So for me, I think having some type of offer in your marketing, whether you do direct mail or Facebook ads or mm-hmm. Google search ads or whatever it is, whatever channel it is, having a valuable offer, I think is critical. So,
and we got to think like the patient, because usually it's thinking like the dentist, right? Well, if we make an offer, we cheapen our services. How many new restaurants have you tried because you got a free appetizer?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Or free drink that brought you in, get a drink and you ordered, you know, the
right.
Whatever.
So it's, or you are in a hotel and you ask the concierge, where do you recommend? And they're like, oh, you should go here for dinner. And here's a card. You can get a free appetizer. I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. When we ask somebody too, like when it comes to patient experience, mm-hmm. like the only reason when you ask somebody, you know, at the hotel, where's a good place, they're probably going to recommend someplace that has a good patient experience or good experience overall. Right.
Correct.
And the same thing, like you mentioned, in the show today, making sure that you have an excellent patient experience because, you know, I may go ask my friend, hey, do you go, What dentist do you go to, right? I need to go get something done with my teeth. And they're like, oh, I go to this dentist because of this and this or so, right? It's the same thing. It's the mm-hmm. same it's the
Oh, absolutely.
Same concept.
And with the, and again, at a higher end hotel, they are not going, even if they were getting, what do you want to call it? Whoopee points for sending you.
Spiffs.
They know that if you don't have a great experience, you're coming back to the hotel at night or the next day and you're looking for them and you're saying, hey, Jordan sent me over here to, you know, Rico's Italian restaurant and I'm here to tell you I wouldn't go back, right? It's the trusted referral still trumps almost it still wins. So unless you're a startup, if you've got a patient base, your greatest really value, your greatest asset from a marketing standpoint are those patients that come in to see you.
Yeah.
Which again goes back to patient experience, why it's so important.
I agree. Well, Penny, this has been an awesome episode. I really, really appreciate you taking the time today. For those people that want to reach out to you and find out more about your wonderful content, education, training, and everything that you do in a practice, what's the best place for them to find you? Online.
To do that. All right. Yeah. So you can go to www.dentalcoachinginstitute.com and you can find out all about what we do. If you are a phone person, probably the best way to reach is through our toll-free number, and I'll be happy to schedule a discovery call if there are any practices out there that you know, want a tip or two or want to know more, be happy to do that. And that's 888-877-5648. Email is Penny, P-E-N-N-Y, at dentalcoachinginstitute.com. And fantastic. I'll be happy to help.
Fantastic. Thanks, Penny. And for those that are listening that want to, you know, learn more about growing and marketing their practice with a membership program, I got a free book that you can download. Just go to boomcloudapps.com/book and you'll find that there. It goes through a lot of some of the stuff that we discussed here today, as well as the concept and strategy of a dental membership program. So Penny, thank you so much again for coming on our show.
And thank you again for having me. It's always
a party
on these with you as well, and it's always fun.
Yeah. So I hope you have a good day, Penny, and all those that are listening, I hope you guys have a great day as well.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.